Everybody got your Bible? Get your Bibles out. Let's get our weapons out. Not our weapon against each other, but our weapon against the adversary. Amen? You know, one of the things that the Lord was speaking to my heart about, that we have an adversary, but praise God, we have an advocate also. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. That we're never alone. We've got a helper. And so today, we're looking at the waves of adversity. How many know that in life you're going to go through some adversity? Amen?
That's right.
Solomon said this in Proverbs 24, verse number 10. He said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. It's kind of interesting that Isaiah said in Isaiah 30, matter of fact, LaVon used part of this a few minutes ago during worship in Proverbs 30, verse number 28. I mean, not Proverbs, Isaiah 40, verse 28. He says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? Fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. One of the things that the Word of God tells us that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. And so today in our text, go with me to Matthew chapter 14. This is a familiar account. But the Lord just might take us somewhere here today. Hallelujah. Chapter 14, verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And this is where I want to focus our attention today is, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The title of this morning's message is The Waves of Adversity. We're going to look at the deliverer, the distraction, and the doubting. Can we lift the word together and make a declaration here today? Say, Lord, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear your word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it here to do. Now, Father, I pray that you speak through me today. May you speak to every heart and every life of each and every one that's gathered here. And when all is said and done, all glory, honor, and praise will be unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, when I was reading this, and I was reading this account, in life, sometimes God asks you and I to step out of the box. And sometimes we have to step out of the boat or step out of our comfort zone. And as we step out of our comfort zone and we're faced with adversity, it's so important for us to learn to keep our eyes upon Jesus. You see, what Peter did is Peter had a little more faith than the rest of the guys in the ship. Peter spoke to Jesus, said, hey, can I come to you? Jesus said, yes. And Peter stepped out of the boat, and Peter was walking on water. Amen. The Bible says that Peter walked on the water. Those waves of adversity were underneath of him. He was walking right on it. But when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at it, the adversity or looked at the waves, he began to sink. Amen. But what I get out of that, even when he began to sink, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. In other words, here you have Jesus walking on water. He's standing on what he even created. And he's taking a man, not only taking him, but he's pulling him up while he's standing on the water. Guess what? And then they both walk back to get in the boat. Hello? In other words, no matter what comes our way, God wants you and I first to recognize that we have a deliverer. Amen. That you haven't gone too far that the Father cannot catch you. You haven't gone so deep that he can't bring you up. Amen. Look with me into Isaiah chapter 46. One of my favorite scriptures. I don't think I got favorites in all of them. And verse number 4, he says this, and even to your old age, I am he. And even to your hoar hairs or your gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear and I will carry and I will deliver you. I've noticed sometimes in my life, when facing adversity, you know, sometimes I have this midlife crisis at times. I'm in the covenant of Abraham. It's 120 years. I'm only 64 years. So I'm just midlife. So it's a midlife crisis. Amen. That no matter where I am, and all I have to do is call out to the Lord and look back to the Lord, and he pulls me back up. That he loves me so much. So many times he says, he reminded me of Daniel chapter 6. The creator. You know, the word of God says in John 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, Jesus, the creator, he created that water that he's walking on. He created every creature and every beast. Amen. And the creator has dominion over the creation. But in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 27, the word of God tells us that he delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in the earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Amen. In other words, what you may be facing may seem to be large. It may seem to be grand. It's most likely bigger than you. But it's not bigger than the God we serve.
Amen.
Amen. And some of the times when we're overcome by the adversary because we're trusting in us instead of the greater one that's in us. Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9, he says, but we had the sins of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Amen.
In other words, God says, I delivered you in the past, I'll deliver you in the present, and I'll deliver you in the future. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And what he says is he reached out his hand and caught him. And that's what God said. He has extended his hand to you and I to catch us, to keep us from falling.
Amen.
Amen. It's his hand that's extended. It's God's hand.
Amen.
It's kind of interesting when he began to follow Jesus, was looking at Peter, and it wasn't that Peter didn't have faith. He says, oh, ye of little faith. Amen? In other words, Peter was distracted. The distraction was Peter looked at the adversity. He looked at the waves instead of at his deliverer. Amen? What are you facing in life? What are you going through? Are you looking at that? Is that being magnified greater than the God you serve? Amen? In other words, when you see his grandness, we sang about it. We praised him. We worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But did you have revelation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that you're worshiping? That how bountiful and how strong and mighty he is. Amen? That he's got you in the palm of his hand. Amen? That he'll watch over and keep you. Amen? Sounds like little Jimmy. Hallelujah. No problem. That baby don't bother a bit. Doesn't bother a soul in here. Amen? We have grown-ups that cry in here. Hallelujah. Oh. So second is the distraction. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus just didn't use this with Peter. He uses it a lot. Verse number 30, Jesus speaking. He says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God says his grace is sufficient for today. God says he holds our day, he holds our past, our present, our future. He has it in his hand. So a lot of times if we're worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year, we can never live today. Amen? And he says that he is our supplier. He says, my God shall supply all your need according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That God's got us taken care of. He said if he feeds the birds, how much will he not take care of you? He takes care of us. He's got us in his hands. He says in Matthew chapter 8, here's another account. Seems like when they're always going, he's getting ready to go to the Gadarenes and mess with some devils. And how many know when you're going to mess with some devils, there's some adversity? Amen. Amen. The devil don't want you messing with his. Okay? And in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 8, it says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch as the ship was covered with the waves, but Jesus was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And here goes Jesus again. He said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Amen. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Remember, the Creator has dominion over the creation. Amen? In other words, everything that has been created by him, he has authority over. Amen? Amen. Look with me in Matthew 16. What we're talking about is distractions. And this is probably one of the biggest distractions in the body of Christ. So bear with me. Verse number 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, God is saying to us in the day that we're living, it isn't as much of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it's the leaven of tradition. It's the leaven of religion. It's the leaven of the things that have been added unto the Word of God that never was in the Word, never was before, never will be, and never can be. Amen. And so many times men and women or women are following religious activities and traditions that don't have a thing to do with the Word of God. And the Lord said this to me. If you follow the Pharisees, you will be sad, you see. Hello? Hello? The corn comes out. Amen? In other words, God says his word. His word. In other words, if it doesn't align with his word, it's not him. Amen? And there's so much carnality in the world and in the body of Christ to try to make everybody happy, to feed their carnal man, that they got away from the Word of God. And this is the only thing that heals. This is the only thing that restores. This is the only thing that renews. Amen. We said it a little while ago, even in the prayer, Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the only way to heaven. I'm the truth. I'm the only truth from heaven. I'm the life. I'm the only life from heaven. There's no other way, no other source, no other means but through Jesus. Jesus said to him, he said, you know, when Peter walked on the water and took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to fall, he reached out his hand and caught him. Amen. He was distracted by the waves and the wind. Amen.
Amen.
He said, and then Jesus asked him a question. He said, why did you doubt? Amen. In other words, when he doubted, the waves became greater than the one that was calling him to come. You know, and whatever we may be distracted with in our life, God wants to get those things out of the way that's keeping us from coming and is bringing down. You see, when he's here to deliver us, but distractions in life, births doubt. All of a sudden, well, I hear this what I used to believe, but I don't believe anymore. Well, what changed? I was distracted. I started following something else. I started going a different direction. I started going a different way. Amen. I didn't keep my eyes on Jesus. Was that song, Keep Your Eyes Upon Jesus?
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. So in other words, what the Father is saying, stop looking at your distraction and look towards the attraction. The Holy Spirit is attracting us to him. Amen?
Amen.
And when we're distracted, it becomes fatal attraction. Because the wages of sin is death. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the adversary does that. And he says, why did you doubt? Look with me in Matthew chapter 17. Verse number 14. The Word of God says this. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. I wonder if my dad ever prayed that prayer for me. And sore vexed. For oftentimes he's falling into the fire and often into the water. I'm going to stop there a second. How would I relate that today? We have cutters. We have men and women with suicidal thoughts. Amen? These suicidal thoughts are demonic presence, okay? Amen? And the Word of God says, and we brought him in verse 16, to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. But you've got to look at verse 21. He says, how be it? This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. In other words, before Jesus ever faced the devil, he went for 40 days in the wilderness fasting and praying and came out with the power of God. In other words, I got to crucify my flesh. My flesh can't fight the adversary. My spirit man has to be stronger than my flesh man. And when I'm fasting, when I'm keeping my body from food, I'm crucifying my flesh. Amen? And Jesus is saying to him, every time, what was Jesus before he ever did anything? What was he doing? He was alone. He was separated. He was praying. Before he came to Peter, where was he? He sent the multitudes away, and he went to the mountain and prayed. And then he came walking on the water. Amen. In other words, he is saying, just don't go to try to fight a devil if you're not prayed up and fasted up. Hello? Are you with me? See, faith casts out doubt. Look with me and your word in Luke 24, verse number 45. Jesus and the word of God says this. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand Scripture. Then opened he their understanding. God wants to open up your understanding so that you understand the word, so that you can battle the adversity and the adversary that you're facing. You know, I just can't throw this out if I don't have it in here. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. And we want to get this word and have understanding in this word. As a matter of fact, and be truthful with you, Peter had more faith than any of us sitting in this room. He was an apostle of Christ. He was a man that walked with Christ, okay? And so many times he walked out, and he was one that stepped out of the boat and began walking on water. Amen. I said, Lord, that would be interesting. I'd like to go to the beach sometime and run on water. I wonder if you have to run faster. No. If God's doing it, you can do it. But you know what? You know why he probably wouldn't let me do it? Because I'd probably be showing off. And I'd probably be out there sinking, swallowed by a whale or something. God wants us to understand his word. You know, we find the account in John 20. We find the account of we call him Doubting Thomas. You know, Jesus had died on the cross, and he rose from the grave, and he appeared before some of his disciples, and Thomas wasn't there. And when he returned, he said to the other disciples, says, Thomas, you just missed Jesus. And Thomas said, unless I put my fingers in the nail prints of his hand and thrust my hand in his side, I won't believe. Several days later, Jesus appeared again and said, Thomas, my hands, my side. And Thomas responded, he said, my Lord, my God. But Jesus said this. He said, Thomas, you have seen and believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and still believe. Because faith's coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. So in closing today, you done already, Pastor? Yep. In closing today, what is God saying to you and I through his word today? Simply is saying we have a deliverer. But the question that he asked me to pose before you today is simply this. What is distracting you? What is distracting you? Because God wants you to understand today that distraction is what's bringing about so much doubt. Amen. And it was just like in the walls of Jericho. By faith, they shallowed the walls down. And whatever has come between you and the Lord, he wants to bring that thing down. Amen? In 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse number 8, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So in closing today, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we're grateful, Lord, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this place to do. Who will say with me this morning, will slip up their hand and say, Pastor, there's something that's distracting me from giving God my full attention. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? I see that hand. Is there any others?